Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
You know, here in the last several weeks, we've been looking at the pie chart. We've been talking about shut your pie hole as we've been considering this newlifegillette.com/PSA. A lot of you have done the assessments. You've gotten some results back as we're trying to figure out how can we continue to become who God created us to be, to take those different steps as we look at the pie and see which one of these pieces of pie, holes, that we need to take steps in. And so hopefully you're getting some information and pray over that, because they've been praying over you as they've been looking over your assessment, and they're looking forward. How can we all just take steps in moving forward? You know, and here in worship the last several weeks, we've been talking to things about getting together in community and being in worship and growing in our faith and generosity. And today we're going to look at another big piece of the puzzle that plays into several of the puzzle pieces up here, as we consider how do we keep growing in our faith, becoming who God created us to be. Today, we're going to be talking about how God calls us to serve faithfully. And I know that some of you are out there thinking, right, you're squirming a little bit, because this idea of serving others, you know, some of you, you're not too excited about that. Now, if you're talking about others serving you, now we'll have a conversation about that, right? We like that idea of getting people to be, you know, me up here and them serving. That sounds great. But what does Jesus have to say about this idea of serving faithfully? And how does it play into our walk of faith? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to look at one of these great stories of Jesus as he interacts with his disciples a little bit. And Jesus had just spent time talking to his disciples about Holy Week, because it's getting close. He's getting close to that time when he knew he was going to be going to the cross and dying and then raising on that third day. And so he was sharing that with the disciples. They didn't fully understand it yet. They're still trying to grasp what Jesus is talking about, but they could tell something big was coming. And so they were kind of thinking, is he getting ready to start his earthly kingdom? Because that's what they were looking forward to. And so with that in mind, a couple of the disciples decided to approach Jesus and have a conversation with him. Let's see what they wanted to check on. Mark chapter 10, it says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to Jesus. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do us a favor.'" What are they doing there? Well, they're praying, right? I mean, they came to God, Jesus, and they have a favor. I mean, that's sometimes what we do, right? We go to God and say, "God, we got a favor to ask. You know, I could really use this job that I'm applying for. Could you do me a favor, God?" Or, you know, grandma's under the weather. Could you help her to get better? Or, you know, the Chiefs are playing a football game. Could you help them lose? That would be great. Anybody pray that one lately? There's a bunch of you out there. Yeah. No? It won't work. And you know why it doesn't work right now? Because the Chiefs have been in a pit for so long, losing for so long, that God has finally shared a little grace with them. It's nice being up here for this week. But James and John, they're looking for a favor. And so they come to Jesus. What are they wanting? "Well, what's your request?" Jesus asked them. And they replied, "Well, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Sounds good, doesn't it? You know, they want those places of honor up there. And we understand this. Some of us do this as well. You think about some of the times in life when we are looking for those places of honor. For instance, maybe you're going on a trip with a group of people. Maybe it's your family or maybe some friends going on a trip. And if you're not driving, we're all wanting a certain seat in the car. What do we yell out? Shotgun. Yeah, we want that certain seat in the car, don't we? It's that seat that has privileges with it. I mean, it has the better leg room, you can recline, and you get to control certain things. What do you like controlling? The radio and the heating and air conditioning, right? we love controlling that and dictating to everybody in the back, this is what you're going to have to deal with. James and John are wanting those seats of position. Now, their seats that they're looking at looks probably a little bit more like this. You know, they knew Jesus was going to be taking this position of being the king. And so they're wanting those seats right next to him. They're on the right and the left. Those positions that they could lean in a little bit to Jesus, where they could lean in and maybe get a better understanding, Jesus, what you're wanting us, so that we can tell everybody else what you're wanting. Or maybe I could even lean into you, Jesus, and maybe influence you a little bit. Yeah, we love those seats of position, of authority. Now, how's Jesus? He's not surprised by their request, but what does Jesus think? Well, he's thinking, you just don't get it, guys. He responds. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Jesus knew that he was about ready to go to the cross. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? Jesus sharing this understanding of being baptized in something. You know, when we baptize somebody, they go fully under the water. And Jesus is sharing this image that the suffering that he's going to deal with is not just going to be just a little bit of suffering. He's going to be overwhelmed by it, fully immersed in this suffering. And so he's wanting to know, do you really think that you're going to be able to deal with the level of suffering that I'm about to, I mean, you want these seats. I mean, the throne that Jesus is going to be on is the cross. Do you really want a seat next to him? You know, maybe the seat that these guys are wanting is something that's going to be painful. Maybe like this guy. Oh, that kid. It probably wasn't a seat like that. But Jesus is wanting them to know that the seats you're wanting to sit on are the seats that they're going to be suffering to walk alongside of me there. So James, John, do you think you're going to be able to take those seats? And of course, their chests just puff right up. And how do they respond? Oh, yes. They replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, well, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. See, Jesus knew the suffering that they were going to face as they helped to lead the early church, the persecution that was going to come their way and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. God the Father has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen. Jesus knew that God was going to be looking at the hearts of people to see how were they willing to follow Jesus on the journey of faith. Jesus knew that James and John were asking something that was going to be hard to figure out. But the bigger thing that Jesus was having to deal with now is that the other 10 disciples, they were starting to hear what this conversation was all about. What do you think that the other disciples were thinking about James and John? When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. They were so upset. Probably because James and John thought to go ask the question before they did, right? Because they all were wanting those positions. They were all wanting to know who's the greatest and how do I get to that position of looking down on everyone else? They wanted those positions of authority, those positions to be able to look down on others. Jesus knew that. He knew how people thought in this world. So Jesus was about to use it as one of those great teaching moments. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. They are up here and they look down, and that's what the disciples were asking for. But Jesus changes the tune though. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Can you imagine the disciples? It's not what we wanted to hear, right? But Jesus, as he's teaching them, truthfully, if Jesus really wanted to get their attention and help them to better understand what he's saying here, he could have done this. Because that's what Jesus is doing. He's flipping it on his head. And he's saying, no, that this is what the world wants. They want those positions of authority, looking down on others so that we can control others. Jesus is saying, no, not with us. We're down here instead so that we can lift others up. But why, Jesus? That makes no sense. I mean, we're used to how the world thinks, and we're used to living the way that the world tells us to live, and we're used to being up here and wanting up here. And so why, Jesus, in your kingdom, do we have to flip it on its head? Jesus was ready for that question. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. Monkey see, monkey do, basically, he's saying. Not that I'm calling Jesus a monkey, but that's the imagery that Jesus said. You know, Jesus says it's part of who I am. You know, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about generosity, I gave you a challenge. Look into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the stories of Jesus are found. And search to see, as you look at the life of Jesus, how generous was he? And you very quickly can see he's constantly giving his life to others. He's generous. Well, do the same challenge. Check it out. Does Jesus like to serve? Is it part of who he is? And as you read those stories, you just regularly are seeing Jesus isn't up here looking down at others, but instead he's down here lifting others up with the words that he shares and the things that he does for them. You see, serving others is part of the DNA of Jesus. It's just who he is. And so if we consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, what does it mean for us? Well, to be follower of Jesus means we serve others because we're following Jesus. The disciples were hearing this and it was just, whoop, turning it on its head. As they were hearing, they are not of the ways of the world, looking down on others, but instead, they're called to lift others up. That's what we are supposed to do. So if that's what we're called to do, let's get practical. Is there somewhere we can look in scripture maybe that can help us to better understand what does that look like for us? How can we apply this understanding into our lives? And there's many places that we could look, but let's look at one of the followers of Jesus, one of those great disciples, Simon Peter, because he shares some great words with us of how we can practically live out, because he heard Jesus, he watched Jesus, and then Peter got the Holy Spirit helping him to see how this plays out. So Peter, in his book of 1 Peter, is going to share this, some different ideas, different opportunities, some even lists of things of how we can serve. And the good thing is I'm not going to try to make you remember it all, because some of us try to remember a bunch of opportunities and lists and we forget. So what I want you to do is, again, when you have a chance, go back to newlifegillette.com/PSA and click on the serving button. It's going to take you right down where you can find these next steps for serving. And in there, you're going to hear all of these different ideas, these lists that we're going to look at right now, so that you can pray over them and figure out, God, what are you calling me to? But Peter wants to give us a good understanding of what this can be. So he shares in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, the end of the world is coming soon. Now, calm down. He's not trying to get you upset. He's just trying to help us to feel a sense of urgency. That no matter whether it's Jesus coming back in the end or whether it's our temporary lives that we're living here on earth in comparison to the eternal lives that we have in Christ, he's just reminding us, life here on earth is temporary. And so if that's the case, while we're living here, we need to have a sense of urgency of living the kingdom life here and now and not waiting until later. So the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So Peter starts sharing these different ways that we can live out our faith in serving others. And the first thing he shares with us is this understanding of prayer. Prayer is such a powerful gift that God gives to us. And Peter's helping us to know there's ways that you can serve others in your prayer. For instance, here at New Life, you can be one of the prayer partners. Those are the people down front here after the service that will pray for you. You can please pray for your pastors and your staff families. And you can pray for your, in your life group meetings. You can be a New Life missional prayer person. And why are these important is because, I don't know if you know this or not, but Satan does not like what we're doing here. Do you know that? We're in some spiritual warfare. And so Satan is constantly trying to distract us from carrying out the mission that God has us on. So to be praying a prayer for the mission of New Life is such a powerful prayer. And for those of us on the front lines and our families, be lifting us up in prayer, such a powerful way to serve the church and the kingdom and moving us forward. But using prayer as serving others is something we should all be doing. And not just here on Sunday mornings or during the week, but also at home, you can be sharing bedtime and supper prayers. Pray in the good, the bad, and the ugly moments of your family life. Just pull together and pray for each other. You can text, use Messenger, email a prayer to someone. You can phone a friend. Use the gift of prayer that God has given to us and use it to lift others up by simply letting them know or letting them hear the prayer that you want to share with them. And why do we do this? Peter says it's because we want to continue to show a deep love for others. And the word for love that he uses here is that it's the Greek word that's, it's the word agape. And some of you have heard that word before. And it's the imagery of the cross. It's that imagery where Jesus was willing to give his life as a ransom. Isn't that what he said that the Son of Man came to do? He came to serve us by giving his life as a ransom on the cross. And so if that's how he loves us, he's simply saying, continue to show that deep sacrificial love for others as you serve each other, whether it's in prayer or the next thing that Peter shares is that understanding of hospitality. Some of you are really good at that. I am not, but I love it when my family helps me to do good at that because it's inviting others to share life with us. And if you're doing it here at New Life, you can do things like be on the host team. You can be doing meals ministry, host your life group at your house. You can, teenagers, you're listening, bake cookies for New Life youth. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Teenagers, are you awake up there? Kinda. You like cookies, right? I'm trying to get you cookies. Just say amen already. There it is. I knew they'd get it eventually. You can invite people to come and see how powerful that last one is. It's for all of us. If you appreciate what God is doing here, when you meet someone out there who is far from God and they're trying to figure out how your life is different, you simply say, come and see. Come join me on Sunday morning. Come with me. I'll grab you a cup of coffee, maybe a donut, and we'll sit together. Just come and see what God is doing in our midst. It's a way to invite people to share life with you. That's what hospitality is all about. And it's not just here at New Life. When you go home, you can do coffee, breakfast, lunch, supper, dessert. Isn't it amazing how food's usually part of hospitality? It's a wonderful thing. Do game nights, campfires, weekend visitors. Campfires, of course, have s'mores with them, right? It's amen. There's an amen. It's a way to invite people to share life with us, because if we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, if we are people who are sharing Jesus, then we want them to connect with us so that they can see the Jesus that we have living within us to help draw them into a journey with Jesus. Peter continues, and the cool thing is he's now going to talk about how these things that we're called to do, serving others faithfully, we're not supposed to just do it on our own, but instead, God's going to help us by giving us gifts. Who likes gifts out there? Well, you get a gift and you get a gift. And I'm not Oprah, don't think I am, but I'm sharing something better than she could ever share. And that's the understanding that you are given a gift by God to help the work of serving in the kingdom of God. Peter shares that. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to do what? To serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. So he shares this imagery of giving us the gift by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, helping us to be even better than what we already are at carrying out the serving in God's kingdom. He wants us to serve well, so he's going to help us to do that. And he shares these different ways that we can potentially do that in the life of the church. The first one he talks about is speaking. And it's not just what I'm doing up here, but there's so many different ways that we can speak and share the good news with others. For instance, here at New Life, you can be a life group leader and share life with the people in your group. You can be teaching children down at New Life Kids, be at the new friends desk and helping the new people coming through the doors, greeting people at the doors, sharing communion with others as they come forward, the body and the blood of Christ shared for you. There are so many different ways that we can speak into the life of others. And if you're down in New Life Kids, you know, I talked with someone here the other day, and being down in New Life Kids is, somebody was afraid, I can't do that, they said, because I don't know the stories of Jesus well enough to be able to help a fourth grader to know him better. And I said, can you say the words, Jesus loves you? Can you? Let me hear you say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Can you imagine you simply taking those words and going down into our nursery and holding a baby? And simply just over and over, just letting them hear, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You can do that, can't you? Imagine, because what Peter says is when you are using your voice to speak into the lives of others, whose voice are you really speaking? But he says, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Because of the Holy Spirit of God being in you, as you share those words with a one-year-old or a two-year-old, and you're just saying, hey, Jesus loves you. God created you on purpose. And you have so much worth because God gave you worth. Just sharing those simple messages. What could that do to a youngster? Is sometimes they're hearing other messages, but you have the power to speak the words of God into the life of a child. It's not just here at New Life that we can be using the gift of speaking, but also take it home, reading the Bible to others. Again, praying over people, talking kindly, encouraging each other. And you think about it in our homes, how sometimes the words that we share with others, they're not good, right? Or the tone that we might use. But what if my mind was thinking differently and I'm thinking, I'm going to speak as if Jesus, the words of God were coming through me, and I'm going to speak as if Jesus would to my spouse? Or what if having a conversation with my kids, my tone was more in line with how Jesus might speak with them instead of how I might be doing that? If I have the mindset that I'm speaking the words of God into the life of others, how does that change how I speak into their lives? You get it? He doesn't just talk about speaking. He talks about this idea of helping others. We're using our hands and our feet. What about doing things here at New Life, like opening doors for others, clearing snow off the sidewalks, making coffee, handing out donuts to kids, checking kids into New Life Kids, running tech for worship, building coffins? We do that here. Matter of fact, our retired men's life group, the other, we found out that they could, yeah, look at this. They were building coffins for us. Isn't that awesome? No? They were. They built four of them for us, and we have another one ready too. You want to know what they're going to be used for? Come to Easter services. You know, if we know that you have the gift to do things, we're going to invite you into the kingdom life and to be able to carry out the work of God in amongst the people of God. even building coffins. You know, it's not just here. Take it home. You can take out the trash, dishes, laundry, opening food if your wife is not, you know, those jars. Sometimes you got to do that. Caring for cars, lawn, snow shoveling, proofreading, researching, organizing. Now, you might be thinking, those are just chores. Those are just things that we got to do at home. But not if you're in the kingdom. Because if you're living the kingdom life and you're wanting to do the work of God, how does Peter end this? He says this. He says, do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do, not just here on a Sunday morning, not just when you're at the church, but everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. For every single opportunity that we have to serve others, if we do it with the mindset, no matter whether we're at home or here, if we're taking out the trash and we're doing it for the sake of the kingdom of God within my family, how does it change the attitude in which I do that? It takes that understanding of saying, boy, I'm up here, my other people in my family should be doing this because that's down here. No, we flip it on its head and we're saying, I have the opportunity to serve my family, to lift them up by carrying out the work that God has placed in front of me. You hear it? How the kingdom life is different. When we're willing to do the serving opportunities that are in front of us for the sake of the glory of God, it changes our hearts and how we do it and why we do it. Now, if you're hearing this today and you're thinking, okay, I'm ready. I want to step into this. The good thing is we make it easy on you and how to do this. We have a simple QR code. Now you can use this one right here if you want to and scan it now, or in the back of the room on our next step walls, you can scan that back there and fill out the form of some of the possibilities that you can serve. And you can do that by doing it, you know, by filling out the form, and you can think about some of those different opportunities that I had up here a while ago, but not all of those opportunities are on the form, because it's a little general in nature, but fill it out, start a conversation with one of our staff and just let them know what you're thinking or what you're feeling called to, and they're gonna help you to get connected with the right person that you can move forward in serving in the kingdom of God. Now, let's lean in here a little bit. Because some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor Paul, you're just giving us all these tasks that we need to have filled around here. You're just wanting to fill those positions, those tasks. But you know, we don't use people to get tasks done. We don't. But instead, we use tasks or opportunities to get people done. You hear the difference? Because if we're on a journey of becoming who God created us to be, we want to get done, don't we? We want to get to that point where we are who God wants us to be. And so if part of that is serving, then we're not using you to get the task done, but instead we're just allowing these opportunities to serve help you to get done. You know, I love being a pastor here on Sunday morning and walking around the church. I see people like Tim and Megan and Joe and Casey, and you know, there's four of the people that are just recently in the last year or so started in this journey of serving. And I love watching them because, you know, one of them is out in the parking lots, and you'll see him out there. One's opening a door out here, and the other two are down in New Life Kids. And I love watching them because for them, it's just not doing a task. But instead for them, they recognize and realize that they're on mission. You see, they realize that they are pulling alongside of people like Peter and James and John and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David and so many others throughout the history of the world who were on mission with God and carrying out the work of God so that the kingdom of God could grow and grow. So the joy that I see in them is they realize that they are just serving Jesus because, again, what do? We serve because Jesus first served us. As he was willing to go to that cross and paid the ransom of our sin on that cross. What if? Dream with me a little bit. What could God do? What could God do if he had a full crowd of people who were on mission with him? That we were a group of people that recognized and realized that we had the opportunity to serve in the kingdom of God. You know, for some of you, you serve so much and you're already there. You're every single week and even beyond that, you're just doing the work of the kingdom. What if you realized after hearing this today that it's, again, not just filling a position, but you're on mission with God and everything that you do is to bring honor and glory to God. That if you come in next week, you just have this renewed desire to serve the kingdom. And what if for some of you that maybe you serve a little bit, you know, maybe once a month or something. And what if each of you thought, well, I could do a little bit more. Maybe you're down in New Life Kids once a month and you think, well, I could be out here and opening a door for somebody on the other weeks that I'm here. And we just take that extra step of serving in an extra way for the sake of the kingdom of God. And what if for those of you who haven't found the joy yet of having that opportunity to step into serving, what if each of you just took one baby step into finding that one new place that God might be opening up as an opportunity for you to serve? What could it look like? What could God do with a group of people who were on mission and understood that Jesus first served me. So if I'm following Jesus, I'm willing to serve. God, thank you. Thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to serve us first, that you were willing to go to that cross and die that death and raise 3 days later. Lord Jesus, you look into each of our lives and you, even though we've rebelled, we've run away from you over and over again, you see the worth that you see there. And you just wanna love and serve us. So God, here we are. We're a body of people that wants to learn from you. We wanna take a step of faith and trust you that you have a better life in front of us as we become who you created us to be, as we step into being on mission and serving. In your name, and all God's people said,